Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this evening. Hey, hang out with us for a while, okay? Because I'm just nervous as a hooker in Sunday school. No offense to sex workers. I really am. I am just nervous as hell tonight. This is not funny anymore. I'll tell you what I mean in a second. Regarding Chuckle Nuts, he was out in California today, and how lucky for the displaced people of California to have Raisin Brain actually fly over there, what used to be their homes. I'm sure those in, as he puts it, that part of the world, feel all better now that Chuckle Nuts passed overhead, kind of like Jesus. But he was on the ground for a while. He really was. I saw him talking to a couple out there, a woman and her husband, and he kept his hand on the woman as they stood in the ruins of what used to be their home. Kind of like, I don't know, Jesus touching Lazarus or something. It was just bizarre to watch. And the poor woman who was standing there, I mean, her entire life, other than her life, you know what I mean, in ashes at her feet, and her husband standing there, and everything just burned and gone. And the president of the United States, who wants to murder Iranians and who is responsible for murdering Iraqis every single hour of every single day since March of 2003. And this woman is standing, I'm watching her, and she starts to tremble. And I'm thinking, is it the touch of Jesus' little brother, or is it the fact that this woman knows a mass killer is making skin contact with her? Oh, it was not pleasant to watch. But we have three sound bites for you tonight from this font of compassion. Oh, and by the way, is Cheney awake yet? Did you see that miserable bastard? Did you see the video that's floating around now? It's about 30 seconds. Taking a nap while California burns. There he was, sitting in that. Well, I don't blame him. What the hell does he care? Americans being burned? His interests don't lie in this country anyway. His interests lie in the mountains of Transylvania at midnight on a rainy, stormy night where a huge box of dirt with the imprint of his body sitting there. That's where his interests lie. This is from PAB, P-A-B. Mike, I just heard your show from last night on podcast where a caller suggested boycotting Disney over the right-wing wackos distributed by ABC Radio. Disney sold ABC Radio last year to Citadel, so boycotting Disney over ABC Radio would have no effect. Just wanted to point this out in case no one has mentioned it yet. Thank you, PAB. No one mentioned it, and I don't even check those things anymore. He's right. Obviously, he wouldn't have mailed in, but it was sold in June of this year. So, you're only half right. It was sold to Citadel Broadcasting. Well, the sale was completed on June 12th of this year. I guess they started working on the sale some time ago. Disney maintained hold. Not that you care about this, because I damn sure don't. But Disney kept some of their ESPN sports stations and yada yada. So, ABC Radio is no longer owned by Disney. 5 years ago today, a plane carrying Senator Paul Wellstone, his wife Sheila, their daughter, and five other people crashed into the woods in northeastern Minnesota. All eight people on board were killed. And as Mark Zdechlik with Minnesota Public Radio writes at truthout.org, "It's evident many people still grieve the loss of Paul Wellstone." You can find out what Mark Zdechlik, is that Zdechlik? I guess it's Polish or Czech, or I'm not very good with pronunciations. But Mark works for Minnesota Public Radio, and you can find his essay at truthout.org. 5 years ago, we were in New York, weren't we, Kathy? We were at DNC. We went to the DNC headquarters. Washington. We went to the Democratic National Committee headquarters. We met Terry McAuliffe, who to this day still turns my stomach. And then we went to lunch at some little restaurant. What was it, Kathy? Where did we go?
No, we were in the Democrat Club.
Oh, is that what
it's called? We were there, and it was astonishing. I'll never forget it. I mean, it was such an ironic. I mean, first time I'd been in Washington D.C. I think in years, and we were sitting in the DNC lunchroom, basically. Remember?
Yeah.
We were meeting with the one of the media relations people there, and there was a whole table full of us, and all of a sudden, and they had a big screen TV up,
yeah.
And it wasn't turned on, the sound wasn't on, but we saw video, and at first you had no idea, it just looked like they were covering some kind of small plane crash, and then all of a sudden, throughout that room, you started hearing beepers and pagers ringing, cell phones ringing, and it was the damnedest thing. It was just one after another, and then people started looking at the TV, and someone said, "Turn it up," and they said Paul Wellstone's plane had gone down, and the place cleared out.
Yeah, instantly.
It was just shocking. I'll never forget it.
I can't believe it's been 5 years. All sorts of weirdness going on today. Right before showtime, got an email from Rick I'm going to share with you. Got an email from Prairie 2 I'm going to share with you. And got an email from Bob at superbeans.com that I'm going to share with you. I read these three emails and I thought, well, hey, I might as well just throw away everything here. Let me just throw away everything that we got ready for the program. So here, that goes in the trash. Here, let me get rid of this, and that goes in the trash. Oh, by the way, we're starting to get some results in from the summer book of Arbitron. Our audience in Miami has increased 150%. The Portland station, our time slot is way up. What is it? 300-400% increase in audience. They're still checking with San Diego. What is Phoenix? KPHX. KPHX audience is up. Minneapolis, it's up.
That would be our home network.
That would be our home station. I'm sorry. But, I usually don't pay attention to ratings. I learned a long time ago, back when I did theater, the supervisor of the school where I, quote, studied acting, end quote, used to say, don't ever read your reviews. Just go out and go to work on the stage. And I've tried to adopt that, although this industry lives and dies by ratings. But I couldn't help but notice this. At a time when so many stations are bailing out of the progressive format because they have been instructed to by their corporate masters, the stations that are staying with it are showing these tremendous gains, at least on our program. And I usually don't toot my own horn, but I'm sorry, I'm going to this time. With an increase like that in Miami and Seattle, I don't know where you can get two more diverse audiences. I'm sorry, Portland and Seattle. I don't know where you can get two more. What did I say? I'm sorry, Miami and Portland. See, this is why I don't talk about it, because I can't talk about it. I get too... But I digress. So, there was some good news, and to me it is good news. It really is. Liberal or progressive talk has been so marginalized for the past 15 years, and this program, my program, has been so marginalized over and over and over again. Jesus Christ, I've been fired so many times. Fired by Air America was the real kick in the ass. I mean, while I'm substituting for Randy Rhodes, they don't even have the... And I'm still waiting for severance pay. I'm still waiting for a kiss on the cheek or some bend-over stamps or something for the 2 years that I devoted to Air America. That'll never happen. And, you know, the awards that I won there, best talk show in New York. Yeah. Oh, well. Now, don't do that, Mike. You sound like you're whining. All right. We'll be back in a minute and get to the serious stuff on the program. I swear to God, there is some stuff that just is scary. It's scary. It may be time to get in the bunker. I don't know. Siphon up your life.
You're listening to the Air Award-winning Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Two-time Air Award-winning Mike Malloy Show.
All right.
In Chicago and New York.
Kathy's been into the cooking, Sherry. It is 21 past the hour. This is an email I got from Prairie 2. I got this one first, and this one kind of gave me a shiver. This is about the bank sanctions that were announced today, the sanctions against Iran announced by the Secretary of Treasury and Secretary of State. Now, you have to have been aware who announced the sanctions. These two cabinet secretaries. Remember this, how long ago was it, a few months ago, that Bush signed an executive order that gave the power to designate organizations terrorists because of their financial involvements, gave that power to the Secretary of Treasury and the Secretary of State, right? It was just, I think it was this spring. Now, I don't know if this is their first use of this or the first public use or whether or not they had the power prior to Bush's directive. But there it was today. There was, what's his name, the Secretary of the Treasury, standing there with the shoe lady by her side announcing that the sanctions are going down on Iran. These, you know, these sons of bitches want a war, another war, so bad. Their sphincter muscles are tightening up. They want to send more people to their deaths. Oh, my God. Anyway, Prairie 2 wrote, "Hey, Mike, it is no coincidence that today's sanctions by the Bush crime family against Iran centered around its banks. Iran has been accepting anything but U.S. dollars for its oil going on a year. And with the dollar beginning to implode at increasing speed, the Bush crime family is desperate to intimidate other countries who may consider abandoning dollars. Putin was not pleased with today's action because Iran has a major banking presence in Moscow. China indicated that it basically would continue to ignore U.S. sanctions against Iran. The U.S. Fed continues to create new dollars at a record pace despite the rest of the world's reluctance to accept it as legitimate currency. The amount requested for the next year of Chuckle-Nuts' wars now exceeds the most requested for the largest year in Vietnam with dollars adjusted for inflation. This is largely because most of the money is spent overseas and it has to be adjusted to the toilet paper exchange rate. If the money collapses, we wouldn't be able to maintain our ubiquitous military presence or even bring our ships home. I suppose they could be sold to Chinese scrapyards. The Bush crime family is starting to approach a use-it-or-lose-it crisis in terms of military power, since the economic power is largely gone already. Meanwhile, the Pentagon has requested funding to outfit B-52 bombers to carry the new bunker buster bombs we supposedly don't have. I don't know. Maybe we ought to go camping. And then Rick sent this. Mike, what year is this? Am I still on Earth? Which Earth? What are my 11-dimensional coordinates? There's so much I need to know. I've been gone for days, but my clock says I've only been gone a couple of hours. What the hell? The shimmering white light that entered my bedroom last night, what was it? There have been a lot of lights reported in the skies in this area over the last two nights. What has just happened to me? My room looks different. Things are rearranged. Am I going crazy? I turn on my TV and it says that George W. Bush is president. George W. Bush? That's the son of the former vice president. To Reagan. That ex-CIA guy that ran for president and lost miserably to Michael Dukakis. George W. Bush. He's that dweeb that bought a baseball team a few years ago. In fact, I just saw him interviewed on ESPN a couple of days ago about that crack cocaine rap his old man fished him out of back in 2005. I remember thinking, just goes to show you what being born with a silver spoon in your mouth can do for you. And who can forget how his father wept on camera when his son George W. was being accused of raping his Mexican housemaid some 10 years ago? I thought back then that the little irresponsible man would have just retired into obscurity over the humiliation that he caused his father. Then he goes and buys a baseball team? Guess he just loves power. And now I'm watching TV and they keep referring to President Bush. WTF? George Clooney's president. What's going on? And I heard something about the United States' ever-increasing demand for fossil fuels. What? President Clooney and Al Gore received the Nobel Prize for leading the world in the reduction of CO2 by implementing the GIEC, the Global Imperative for Electric Cars. It was adopted by all nations. And now I'm seeing on the TV some guy named Anderson Cooper talking about crossing a point of no return if we don't start curbing CO2 emissions. But we have. What's going on, Mike? I'm starting to have some vague flashback of a small gray being communicating with me about history and September and the war and global warming. I gotta go now. I just saw on the news something about a war in Iraq. A war in Iraq?
Sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
It's about 25 before the hour. Zoe writes from San Diego. Hi, Mike. I'm listening to you live talking about Idiot Boy's staged photo op today in San Diego with that poor couple who lost their home. I went online and recognized the poor, unfortunate couple. I used to work with the man, and he was the nicest guy. I felt so bad for them that they lost their house and had to stand there and take pictures with Rat Boy. I couldn't tell by the picture of his wife if she was crying because she lost her home or crying because the decider's hand was on her shoulder. Isn't the hand on the shoulder the Grim Reaper's M.O.? Thanks for the great show. I listen to you on 1360 KLSD in San Diego. I think this is the last week the station is progressive. Then it goes to sports. Yeah, it does. All right. The emails. Bob Alexander sent this in. I went to the various websites and checked it out. It really happened. The U.S. House of Representatives recently, and if I remember, it was within the past few days, recently passed H.R. 1955, titled The Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007. This bill Bob writes, is one of the most blatant attacks against the Constitution yet, and actually defines thought crime as homegrown terrorism. If passed into law, it will establish a commission and a so-called center of excellence to study and defeat so-called thought criminals. Unlike previous anti-terror legislation, this bill specifically targets the civilian population of the United States and uses vague language to define homegrown terrorism. Amazingly, 404 of the House members from both the Democratic and Republican parties voted in favor of this bill. There's little doubt that the bill is specifically targeting the growing patriot or progressive community that is demanding the restoration of the Constitution. So I checked it out. Here's a summary. This is it was introduced April 19th, a few months back, and just passed by the House. It was introduced April 19th, and just recently passed. Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007. Amends the Homeland Security Act of 2002 to add provisions concerning the prevention of homegrown terrorism, that is, terrorism by individuals born, raised, or based and operating primarily in the United States. It directs the Secretary of Homeland Security to, one, establish a grant program to prevent radicalization and homegrown terrorism in the U.S., two, establish or designate a university-based center of excellence for the study of radicalization and homegrown terrorism in the U.S. And three, it will conduct a survey of methodologies implemented by foreign nations to prevent radicalization and homegrown terrorism in their countries. It prohibits the Department of Homeland Security's efforts to prevent ideologically based violence and homegrown terrorism from violating the constitutional and civil rights and civil liberties of U.S. citizens. That sentence has too many negatives in it. It prohibits Homeland Security's efforts. It stops Homeland Security's efforts. I don't know. I can't figure it out. I'll just go to roguegovernment.com. Roguegovernment.com. And you'll find it. The House passes a thought crime prevention bill. Roguegovernment.com. And it'll provide links where you can go read the whole bill if you can get through it. And if you can take a look at the 440 members of the U.S. House who voted in favor of this, we're in trouble, truth seekers. I'll tell you what. I need to cash in an IRA, Kathy, and go get a couple more high-powered weapons for the House. I swear to God, I do. Oh, Lord have mercy. Paul Craig Roberts has something at Consortium. Is it at Consortium? Or no, Counterpunch, I'm sorry. You know, Paul Craig Roberts, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration, also former associate editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page. There can't be a more right-wing garbage dump than the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He was also a contributing editor of National Review, right-wing magazine that promoted or promotes today fascism. But apparently Paul Craig Roberts, he's really had a conversion. I got to share this with you, so here we go. Americans had best rethink the war on terror while they still have the liberty to do so. For all of President Bush's blah-blah talk about bringing democracy to the world, the Bush administration has proved that it is no friend of liberty at home. The Bush administration has violated constitutional principles, U.S. law, and the Geneva Conventions, as no previous administration has done. Here's a short list of the Bush administration's crimes. Spying without court warrants on Americans in violation of both the U.S. Constitution and the FISA statute. the denial of habeas corpus, attorney-client privilege, due process, and Geneva Convention protections to those people, American or foreign, designated without evidence as terrorists or enemy combatants. The justification and use of torture to coerce confessions and the kidnapping of foreign nationals who are sent to be tortured in foreign prisons. The initiation of military aggression against states based on intentional deception by the Bush administration of the U.S. public and the U.N., and the intentional fabrication of so-called evidence to justify unprovoked aggression against sovereign states, which is a war crime under the Nuremberg Standard established by the U.S. Violation of the oath of office to defend the U.S. Constitution by practically every member of the Bush administration and Congress. Bush has assaulted the separation of powers and the rule of law with so-called signing statements and so-called executive orders that President Nixon's White House counsel John Dean says are commands that treat the co-equal branches of government and the electorate as subservient to executive authority. In April 2006, Boston Globe reporter Charlie Savage listed 750 laws challenged by the Bush administration with the signing statements. Not even the demonized president of Iran claims to be above the law. Genocide against the people of Iraq, where 1 million Iraqis have died as a result of Bush's invasion, and several million Iraqis are displaced persons. Massive civilian casualties in Afghanistan, which is a form of genocide in which military force is routinely applied to unarmed noncombatants. Massive corruption in which no-bid contracts are issued to Republican corporations in exchange for kickbacks to political campaigns. The theft of two national elections as documented in books by Mark Crispin Miller and Greg Palast. The Bush administration has even conducted Stalinist show trials against innocent Muslim charities as part of its propaganda to make the American people fearful that they are surrounded by hostile terrorists. In December 2001, Bush declared the Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development to be a, quote, terrorist organization, end quote, and seized the charity's assets. Bush put the charity's officials on trial as terrorists. 6 years later, 2 days ago, after years of investigations and 2 months of testimony by who but Israeli intelligence agents, that, according to the New York Times, the U.S. government's case fell apart in the courtroom. One of the jurors said that the case, quote, was strung together with macaroni noodles. There was so little evidence, end quote. Georgetown University professor of constitutional law David D. Cole said the case, quote, suggests the government is really pushing beyond where the law justifies them going, end quote. While committing these unprecedented crimes, Bush has claimed the moral high ground despite having lied to the American people and despite devastating two countries in the name of, quote, making the world safe from terrorists, end quote. When people in Iraq and Afghanistan are asked who are the terrorists, they answer that it is the Americans. The Bush administration has not been held accountable for any of its crimes by failing to hold government accountable to law, the Constitution, and the American people. The opposition party and the corporate media have abandoned their responsibility to protect freedom and democracy in the United States. There can be no democracy where there is no government accountability, and there is no government accountability in the United States except, of course, to the Israel lobby. Now the Bush administration wants to take away the American people's freedom to travel within their own country by airplane. Not content with an 80,000 no-fly list, a subset of 500,000 to 750,000 person watch list, the Bush administration's Transportation Security Administration has proposed new rules that will require Americans to get government permission 72 hours in advance prior to being allowed to board a domestic flight. The TSA justifies this extraordinary violation of our rights on the grounds that 90 to 93% of all travel reservations are final by then. So what? And what of the 7 to 10% of flights that the TSA estimates are not on the books 72 hours in advance? These are family emergencies and critical business deals. What does the TSA care if a member of your family dies while you await the government's permission to fly? Any agency of the government that can propose such a tyrannical regulation should be abolished. The TSA's mentality shows it to be a far greater threat to Americans than our terrorists. Even without the permission to fly rule, The TSA's practices are ridiculous and unjustified. The confiscation of toothpaste and unopened bottles of perfume, the harassment of U.S. military officers in uniform, the harassment of old people struggling with their walkers, of mothers struggling with small children, none of this makes any sense, except in terms of getting Americans accustomed to harassment as a citizen's duty to government, and to train a cadre to conduct warrantless searches of fellow citizens. The no-fly list itself is absurd. If a known terrorist were to show up at an airport, he would be arrested, not refused permission to fly. Anyone else who can clear security like other passengers has every right to fly. Set aside the violation of the Constitution and the Soviet-style tyranny of the loss of freedom to travel, and consider merely the practical aspect of the proposal. What American wants his travel plans dependent on a government bureaucracy capable of putting U.S. Senator Ted Kennedy on a no-fly list and capable of issuing U.S. visas to two of the alleged 9/11 hijackers 6 months after they allegedly died in the 9/11 events? The war on terror is fraudulent. The cruel war and the deceptive vocabulary that protects it are a cover for expanding U.S. and Israeli hegemony in the Middle East, and for constructing a functioning police state at home, a country in which people cannot make airline reservations without the government's permission, is not a free country.
Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies, and we'll never rest again until every Nazi.
I got you on the loose, I left you grooving. I got you on the beat, I left you broken. But won't you take my place?
Fly and enjoy America's great destination spots. Get down to Disney World in Florida.
Yeah. All right, very quickly here. It's about 8 before the hour. Let's do a phone call. Bob is calling from Seattle, listening on the Internet. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller, Bob.
Well, welcome aboard.
I was reading that article today. And I thought...
Which one?
The one about thought crime.
Oh, the thought crime? Yeah. It's astonishing, isn't it?
Well, the reason I cut and pasted it over to you, because I remember way
back...
You
sent it to me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks.
Yeah, just happy days. During the Vietnam era, there was this deal floating around that all the anti-war groups were... taking their cues from, you know, communist cells within the country.
Right.
And
right.
Hoover kept talking about, you know, where it isn't homegrown, it's being exported, and we're all commie-controlled if we were anti-war. And no one really believed that,
right,
except the people that were for the war.
Right.
Because I recall many times going to demonstration, commie, go home, that sort of thing. So right. I thought that was all gone, and Hoover was dead. And I read this thing.
Surprise, surprise.
It's back, and this time it's on steroids.
Yeah.
And it's so vaguely worded that there's a pretty big anti-war demonstration going on Saturday. And you could easily say going to that would violate this thing if it had passed. I mean, if the retarded man signs it.
Yeah, if it gets signed, it's sitting there. I don't know if the Senate has passed it, but when you have 400 House members vote in favor of absolute, complete tyranny, either they don't know what they just voted on, or it's all over. There's no point in you tuning into this radio program anymore because it's not going to be here.
Well, not that I'm paranoid by nature, but, you know, I keep thinking, when's the last thing that's going to happen that'll make everybody go, whoa, that is way over the line. And I thought that happened with the Military Commissions Act. And there's still no, whoa, you know. And so, not that I'm packing, but I've pared down everything that we will pack.
Yeah, well, I hear that. Now, let me make sure I know who I'm talking to. Is this Bob at Super Beans?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You sound a lot calmer than I would have imagined. For some reason, I guess because you deal in coffee, I just expect you to be more hyper.
It's the end of the day, and I've been decaf since noon.
Is that what it is? Well, I wish everybody who likes coffee would go to your website because we got some of your that Kona coffee. And Jesus, I have done nothing for the past 4 days except drink your coffee! And it's wonderful. And it's not. It hasn't left me hyper at all. It gave me a chance to get off the Americanos that I've been drinking. This Hawaiian coffee is just, this Kona coffee is just fabulous.
I like to tell people it's the fuel for the aware.
It's amazing. It is amazing stuff. When I sent you the email thanking you, I said I've always wanted to try a premium coffee like this, and oh my goodness!
Once the roaster over roasted some Kona pea berry, and he sent me some, and it was so good, I had to think of excuses not to work at all that day, so I could just stay home and drink coffee.
Well, when we when we got it, you know, Kathy broke out the grinder, and we've been, you know, this is something new for Molly. She looks at Kathy every time we want coffee now. She throws some beans in the grinder, and that, and Molly's standing there. What are you doing, Mom? All right. Well, listen. Thank you for the articles. Thank you. That is probably not the right thing to say. This is scary stuff.
I'm giving everybody copies of End of America,
so
that I can be the coal in everybody's Christmas stocking.
Yeah, well, you certainly are the lump in our Halloween candy, I'll tell you, Bob. Thanks. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Don't be a stranger. Call once in a while. Love to hear from you, all right?
Have fun.
All right, take care, Bob. If you haven't gone to this guy's website, shame on you. Do it! Do it! Go there! Superbeans.com. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. I want to start this. This is Novam Radio, by the way. My name is Mike Malloy. Before we get too deep into this hour, I want you to hear something. Jack sent this to me. Bill Clinton was in Minneapolis at a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton's campaign on Tuesday, 2 days ago. And from the TV station that shot the video, says Clinton's 50-minute speech, which started about an hour behind schedule, was derailed briefly by several hecklers in the audience who shouted that the 2001 terrorist attacks were a fraud. Rather than ignoring them, Clinton seemed to relish a direct confrontation. A fraud? No, it wasn't a fraud, Clinton said as the crowd cheered him on. I'll be glad to talk to you if you shut up and let me talk. When another heckler shouted that the attacks were an inside job, Clinton took even greater umbrage.
An inside job? How dare you? How dare you?
Wow. He went on to say, it was not an inside job. You guys have got to be careful. You're going to give Minnesota a bad reputation. Play that again, Kathy, because I want people to hear very clearly the fury In Clinton's voice.
An inside job? How dare you? How dare you?
Well, save that piece of audio, Kathy, because I think at some point we're going to need to be reminded. I want people to hear it one more time. If you don't mind playing it one more time. This is Tuesday at a fundraiser in Minneapolis, where Clinton was speaking at a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton's campaign. And a heckler shouted that the attacks on this country on September 11th were an inside job. And Clinton said,
an inside job? How dare you? How dare you?
I mean, he doesn't even ask the guy or the woman, the heckler, you know, what do you mean an inside job? Do you mean that the Bush administration ignored the warnings and allowed it to happen? Do you mean that somebody within the bowels of this filthy regime co-plotted and planned it? You know, Clinton just doesn't want to hear this. What is wrong with this guy? I mean, what was wrong with Bill Maher? What's wrong with people who just go berserk? I mean, Maher went berserk and chased up through his own audience to manhandle somebody and throw him out last Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, when they were taping, or it was a live show. Clinton, on Tuesday, loses as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Clinton didn't run up in the audience, but God, if you listen to the fury in his voice, how dare you? How dare I? How dare somebody for claiming it was an inside job? Given the fact, Mr. Clinton, that this corrupt presidency lied us into a war, why, and the whole plan was laid out by PNAC and sent to you back in 98? Come on, Bill. This is what people who try to open a dialogue about 9/11, this is what they're up against. Bill Clinton's very charismatic, very photogenic. He is absolutely determined that his wife is going to be the next president of the United States, as are a lot of people. But God help you if you bring up 9/11 as an inside job. An inside job? How dare you? How dare you? Son of a bitch, Bill, we've got an administration that's destroying the Constitution. What are you doing? Being the front man for Hillary's campaign, what are you doing? The freaking country is coming apart at the seams. Oh, I'm really pissing off the Bill Clinton fans tonight, right? In a lot of ways, I was one of his fans. Not anymore. Not even the 30 or 40% that I used to be. Nuh-uh. No, sorry. Nuh-uh. Because I know too much about the Clintons now. Jesus, what a choice is going to be. Rudolph Giuliani and Hillary Clinton. Oh, my God. Giuliani guarantees fascism. Even the New York Times on the front page today, and even cowardly ass little ABC News tonight, had the absolute temerity to mention that the three top advisors to Giuliani are all these warmongering, I don't know how to say it, warmongering neoconservatives whose sole function is to get the United States into yet another war. They are on the record. It's incredible. These are Giuliani's so-called advisors. And there it was on the front page of the New York Times. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But Bill Clinton, how dare you? How dare you?
An inside job? How dare you? How dare you?
Well, Bill, here's a time stay. Mitty's Hawks helped to develop Giuliani policy. The Hawks, Norman Peroritz, prominent neoconservative who advocates bombing Iran as soon as it is possible. Daniel Pipes, the director of the Middle East Forum, who has called for profiling Muslims at airports and scrutinizing American Muslims in law enforcement, the military, and the diplomatic corps. And Michael Rubin, a scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, who has written in favor of revoking the United States' ban on assassination. Now, the fact that they're all Zionists is just icing on this horrible, horrible candidacy. Norman Peroritz, Daniel Pipes, and Michael Rubin. They want the ban on assassinations of the United States revoked. They want torture, which they already have. They want to bomb Iran. Bomb Iran as soon as it is logistically possible. And they want every single Muslim. How are you going to tell Daniel Pipes who is and isn't a Muslim unless they're dressed a certain way? What about the ones who dress like you, you Nazi bastards? Astonishing, isn't it? Astonishing. That's Rudy Giuliani's inner core of advisors, Peroritz, Pipes, and Rubin, who want assassinations made legal, just like Gonzalez made torture legal. This is really Giuliani's inner circle. You think Cheney and Rumsfeld and Scooter Libby were bad? You can't even, nor can I, I'm not being, you know, trying to get over on you here. You, nor I, can even imagine what a Giuliani presidency would be like. Can't even imagine. When he was mayor in New York, he tried to rewrite the city's government, a governing document on multiple occasions to enhance his power. He repeatedly attempted to eliminate or obstruct agencies charged with oversight of his administration. He said, screw the First Amendment. I mean, this guy makes Bush look like a, I don't want to say a liberal, because Bush could no more be a liberal than Satan could be Jesus. But he is Bush to the fifth power. And look at his inner circle. This is Nova M.
How much he hates these people. It's more Mike Malloy.
Hey, little sister, what have you done?
21 past the hour. We'll have this chuckle nut sound coming up here in a few minutes. The other night, Giuliani was asked about Attorney General nominee Michael Mukasey's refusal to call waterboarding torture. I've got it here someplace. This Mukasey bastard, and he will be confirmed. The Democrats will confirm him, as they always do. Mukasey is just another nail in the coffin, another brick in the wall. New York Times, was it today or the other day? Editorial entitled "Lawbreaker in Chief." He claims he doesn't know what waterboarding, and that sounds like something that you find on the beaches of California. He has no idea what waterboarding is. It's astonishing. It's torture. It's torture. If I understand it, and the guy who wants to be the attorney general doesn't understand it, nonsense. But that's the story, you see. Now, as far as Giuliani's involvement in this, he was asked about Mukasey's refusal to call waterboarding torture. And Giuliani said the other night in Iowa, it depends on the circumstances and on who does it. Jesus, God. Because, Giuliani went on to say, liberal newspapers have exaggerated it. Giuliani then called, Think Progress? Giuliani then called liberals silly for describing sleep deprivation as torture. And then he went on and joked and said, on that theory, I'm getting tortured running for president of the United States. Here's what he said. And I see when the Democrats are talking about torture, they're not just talking about even this definition of waterboarding, which, again, if you look at the liberal media and you look at the way they describe it, you could say it was torture and you shouldn't do it. But they talk about sleep deprivation. I mean, on that theory, I'm getting tortured running for president of the United States. That's plain silly. That's silly. Maybe Giuliani should get familiar with the U.S. Army Field Manual on Interrogation, which describes abnormal sleep deprivation as a form of torture. The European Court of Human Rights and the Supreme Court of Israel have ruled sleep deprivation to be inhumane and unlawful. Even the neocon John Yoo, the prime author of the administration's infamous torture memo, has conceded that sustained sleep deprivation can, quote, amount to a violation of the Geneva Convention, end quote. You think George Bush and these filthy bastards around him are bad? Rudy Giuliani, were he elected president, would make Americans pine for George Bush. But Norman Podhoretz and Daniel Pipes and Michael Rubin, whew, oh my God. Well, if you want to read this thing about these three guys, go online to New York Times. Mideast hawks helped to develop Giuliani policy. It's in today's Times. And look at who Giuliani's tightest, closest advisors, foreign policy advisors, are. These son of a bitches would have us in a war before Giuliani got sworn in. Another war. And another one. And another one. And another one. And another one. And Mukasey says, well, I'm not sure what waterboarding is. I don't know. Well, if it meets the test of torture, well, then no. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. Watch how many Democrats support his nomination. Just watch. I mean, it's already the questioning is over. The Senate Judiciary Committee sent him some written questions. Patrick Leahy, the chairman of that committee, sent a note to Mukasey saying he was troubled by your answer regarding waterboarding. I see a loophole big enough to drive a truck through, Leahy wrote. Well, I don't know. Like I said, there's just too much going on here that is really scary stuff. It's really, really ready for a break. I need to go get another cup of Bob's coffee, I think. That's what I'll do. Yeah, there's the ticket. I'll go get a cup of coffee. Stick around. We have sound for you coming up of Chuckle Nuts out in another that part of the world, this time San Diego. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Precious people always tell me that's a
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. So the decider mounted up and went out west. You know, I'm from out west. Yeah, I'm a cowboy. I am. All I got to do is just keep this war going to October, November next year. You know, his handlers are working overtime to repair his disaster response image, huh? From the New Orleans days. Remember when he stood there at in Jackson Square in New Orleans with the dramatic backlighting or front lighting, but with the church, what church is that, Kathy? The church behind him, kind of in half light, looking more like a mausoleum than a church, and you know, anything needs to be done will be done. We're going to take care of you. So here he is out with the rich people. I'm speaking relatively. Anytime you pay, you know, $1, $2, $3, $6, $7 million for a house, I'm sorry, if you take offense to being called a rich person, then you're a fraud in addition to being a rich person. But here he was with. And again, I'll say it again, no offense to anybody in San Diego. I got friends in San Diego. But there he was, surrounded by white people. You notice this time, all white people. New Orleans, all black people. They even went so far as to use the stadium again. Big difference, huh? Ah, you notice that? Oh, my God. History repeats itself. First is tragedy, then is farce, or do I have that backwards? I guess I have it backwards, don't I? Never mind. So, they made him roll up his sleeves. Did you watch any of that? By God, I got my sleeves rolled up. That's a that's a television cue. That's just like the local weatherman. When there's bad thunderstorms, he doesn't show up in his coat and tie. He takes off his coat and rolls up his sleeves. That's to let you know some bitch is working hard with them computers to get you the information about them thunderstorms. Well, it's all about image. It's all about image. It's not substance. So they made him roll up his sleeves and then make four, count them, four separate stops and mini speeches in the San Diego area. What an inspiration. What an inspiration. I thought, you know, I felt my heart pounding with patriotic fervor today when I was watching it. No, I guess that was high blood pressure. I don't know what the hell it was, but boy, after thanking Schwarzenegger and asking if he was still called the Terminator, Bush showed what a compassionate conservative he is. Listen up.
First thing I want to let the people know out here in Southern California is that many across our nation have been moved by the plight of the citizens who have lost their homes, lost their possessions, and particularly those who've lost their life. It's very important for those who are wondering about the future to know there's a lot of good citizens all across America who are praying for your future. I really, it's important for me to come out here and see firsthand the situation.
Yeah.
And there's no question a lot of people are suffering.
Yeah, I love it, too.
And there's no question there's been terrible losses.
I'd love that, too.
I also am out here to make sure these firefighters behind me and the first responders know how much I appreciate and how much the country appreciates their courage and bravery. Emergency medical teams have treated the sick, and our National Guard personnel is providing very important assistance.
Somewhere near Baghdad, right? What kind of very important assistance is our National Guard providing, Chuckle Nuts? I'm out here to make sure these firefighters behind me, you know, the ones I'm using as photo op props. Y'all sit down, shut up, don't do anything. This is your big moment. I'm the president. I'm the decider. Stand behind me. I make the soldiers do this, too. Shut up. Shut up. And he's particularly, he says, we've been moved by people who've lost their homes, their possessions, and particularly those who've lost their life. We're praying for your future. Well, not the future of the dead people. That goes without saying. But, you know, we're praying for the rest of you. It's very important for those who are wondering about their future to know there's a lot of good citizens all across America who are praying for your future, except you dead people. Oh, well, that's comforting. Son of a bitch. You know, Chuckle Nuts, the last time I was unemployed and I had let's see, we had a 2-year-old then, didn't we? The time before that, you were pregnant. Right. And you know, while Kathy and I are sitting here thinking, oh, my God, let's see, the mortgage payment, all right, now the car payment, okay, whew, how are we going to do this? You know, in that moment, I just sat there, George, and on my back porch, staring into the woods, thinking to myself, son of a bitch, I am so glad that my friends are praying for me. That really helps. He says, for you people out here in Southern California, that the citizens all across America are praying for you. Aren't Californians citizens too? Sounds like his post-Katrina rhetoric to the victims in New Orleans. Remember how he said the people of America were praying for them in that part of the world? Oh, my God. So there he is. Pretzel Boy continues to speak to the devastated Californians.
It turns out when the president shows up, so does a lot of the other brass. I'm proud to be here with General Tuck, who runs the entire National Guard Bureau.
Oh, wait, stop
all
it right
of us
there.
Associated
stop,
with
stop,
the federal
stop,
government,
stop,
Governor.
Stop it right there. General Tuck, I don't know where he got that. The guy's name is General Blum. But why should Bush bother his beautiful mind with silly details like that? And the dumbass general just stood there, yep, that's me. I just got a name change. General Blum, General Tuck, really doesn't matter. General Tuck? Isn't that a character out of Robin Hood? Oh, no, that was Friar Tuck. I knew it was a Tuck of some sort. You know, it's easy to get tucked when you're... Let's start that over. All right, here's Pretzel
Boy. Turns out when the president shows up, so does a lot of the other brass. I'm proud to be here with General Tuck, who runs the entire National Guard Bureau.
Yeah.
All of us associated with the federal government, Governor, are
yeah.
here to make sure that the resources at our disposal are deployed to help you.
Yeah.
Military's got assets that we can help you with. General, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
We've got a 4-star general with us today.
Wish I could remember
the reason
his name.
Governor, is to listen to you.
Yeah, listen to you.
Find out what assets we can continue to deploy to help you.
I love talking like this.
The major disaster declaration authorizes the release of federal funds.
Some bitch.
People affected by the fires can now apply for assistance for temporary housing and home repair.
Rare.
And low cost loans to cover uninsured property losses.
I want more death.
Now, people here in this part of the world are wondering. Is there a number they can call to get help?
Yep. Here's the number.
And here's the number.
Okay.
1-800-621-FEMA.
Are you listening, Gulf Coast residents? Hey, y'all down there in Gulfport, Mississippi. Y'all down there in Mobile, Alabama. Y'all down there in New Orleans. There's the number, 1-800-621-FEMA. You can call the number, too. Get some help for your part of the world. Start some reprayers of your own on your house. Unless the number is only for displaced white Republicans. No offense to the citizens of San Diego. I'm just saying, you know. I'm just saying. Bush is just going to get his privates caught in his zipper. He's moving so fast to get out there. I'm going to talk. Here, come here. Give me some white people. I couldn't go down there in New Orleans with them Negroes. I couldn't handle that. You know, dead bodies floating around and stuff, and dogs and cars upended and stuff. Over here, it's nice and neat. Everything just burned. Somebody get out there and get me an old woman to hug. General Tuck, get me one. Tuck, what's your name? Blum. Is that Jewish? Blum? Like Leopold? Damn. Don't To all you folks listening down in the Mississippi Gulf Coast tonight, there's your number, 800-621-FEMA. I don't remember Bush standing somewhere giving that number out last time, do you? You done a heck of a job, Barky, Woofy, Brownie, whatever the hell his name was. I don't remember what his name was. Barky works for me. General Tuck, General Blum. Hey, Governor, you still the Terminator-ator? You sure do have a skinny wife, boy. What? General Tuck is not General Tuck. It's General what? Finally, some words of comfort and healing from Mensa Man. Remember when he said that New Orleans residents should cheer up because one day out of the rubble and rubbish, there would be fine new homes for Trent Lott. Or there would be fine new homes and Trent Lott would get a brand new porch. Uh-huh.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger's right.
Yeah?
These fires are going to go out.
Oh, really?
And the final reason I've come is to let you know we're not going to forget you in Washington, D.C.
Like we did New Orleans.
That we want the people to know that there's a better day ahead.
There is!
That today your life may look dismal.
It does!
But tomorrow life's going to be better.
Give me proof!
And to the extent that the federal government can help you, we want to do so.
Yeah, we do.
I do want to thank all the volunteers who have stepped forth to help a neighbor in need.
A neighbor.
There's an impressive number of people that have heard the call.
Hallelujah.
That one of their neighbors needs help.
More than one.
For all those who are volunteering their time to help somebody get their feet back on the ground, I thank you from the bottom of our nation's heart.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. We're not going to forget you in Washington like we did them brown people and Negroes and, I don't know, dead folks down in New Orleans. You know that place stunk? Damn, that place stunk. At least out here in San Diego, you know, y'all don't stank. It was stanky down in New Orleans. It was stanky. I don't know what that stank was. Was that decomposing bodies? Is that what that was? Your life may look dismal, but tomorrow life's going to be better. You want proof? Why, just look at those fortunate Gulf Coast residents living in those toxic FEMA trailers. So, hey, it could be worse for you white people out here. So shut up. Give me some props. Give me some white people. God damn it. Give me some white people. I want some people in them yellow the slickers back behind me. And I want me a nice middle-class, middle-aged white lady. Get her up here. Let me put my hand on you. Where's Cheney? He's still asleep? Screw him. Give me that white lady. Lady, come over here. What's your name? Tuck? Are you the general's wife? Oh, you're not. You're not the general's wife? Come here. Stand over here. Damn, that's a tacky sweater you got on. Get over here. Get over here. Stand next to me. Now, look into that camera and smile. All right, cry. Do one of the two. One of the other two. I want you to smile or cry. I don't give a tinker's damn. But straighten up. I'm the decider. And you have your moment of glory here standing next to me while I put my hand on you. Huh? You like that?
I'm a bad dream that I just had today. And you shake your head and said it's a shame.
I believe in urban homesteading. That says we're going to identify federal property and provide lots for low-income citizens that they'll have for free so long as they build a house on there with a mortgage.
Subject line says, one more unbelievable San Diego fire tidbit. This is from Zoe in San Diego. Mike, I just heard on San Diego's 1360 KLSD's local news break that as of tomorrow, Friday, October 26th, the largest evacuation site, Qualcomm Stadium, which held about 10,000 displaced people, will close to evacuees so the San Diego Chargers can play their scheduled game on Sunday. The Chargers star player, LaDainian Tomlinson's home, was evacuated too. Wonder where he gets to stay. Go figure. So the folks in Qualcomm Stadium got to get their asses out of there. I mean, it's one thing to be an evacuee. It's something else, again, to interfere with the NFL. That will not happen. As far as the NFL is concerned, this was in the PalmBeachPost.com. Listen to this. Maybe he was joking, but gregarious Dolphins linebacker Channing Crowder confessed today he didn't know until Tuesday that people spoke English in London. Crowder, a former Florida Gator and Atlanta native, apparently isn't sure where the plane is headed when it takes off this afternoon for Sunday's game against the New York Giants in Wembley Stadium. Crowder said, "I couldn't find London on the map if they didn't have the names of the countries. I swear to God, I don't know what nothing is. I know Italy looks like a boot. I learned that." Oh, God, I hate professional sports. This guy could be president of the United States, couldn't he? I hate professional sports. And then there's this. And by the way, your phone calls when we come back. Y'all have been very patient, so we're going to do some calls when we come back. This is from Peter in North Carolina. Subject line is November 6th. Peter, you haven't been listening to the program, but that's okay, I understand. Mike, Naomi Wolf and Jim Hightower are calling for a general strike on November 6th. No work, no spending, no TV, no use of cell phones, credit cards, no purchasing gas. Naomi Wolf suggests organizing local sit-ins on that day with peaceful and quiet demonstrations supporting the Constitution. If you think this is a good idea, spread the word. Love the show. You give voice to my anger. Yeah, we spent an awful lot of time on this, Peter, last week. We even had a straw poll. I was going to take the night off, and the voting was so heavily in favor. I mean, it was like swamped. It wound up, for those of you who want to know, it wound up 6-7-1. No, Malloy, you've had enough time off. Keep your ass on the radio, especially that night. So I notified Nova M that I'll be here. So what we will do on Tuesday, November 6th, is that next Tuesday? 2 weeks? What we will do on Tuesday, November 6th, what I will do, what we will do on this program is do what we normally do on this program. But I, personally, will do no spending. How do I watch no TV? How do I do? Okay, I get no TV. I can use the internet. I will not use my cell phone. I will not use a credit card. I will not buy gas. And since I'm not a very good organizer, if I hear of local sit-ins here in the Atlanta metro area, I will be there with my wife and my child. Molly has school that day, right? Preschool. Okay. We'll pick her up, and maybe there will be something we can head right to. Or no. Maybe there will be something to which we can head. Go. To. Never mind. So, Peter in North Carolina, yeah, we've talked about this a lot on the program. We really did. And as a matter of fact, Bob Alexander at superbeans.com is the one who suggested to me that it might be something I would feel inclined to participate in. And I do. And I did. And I put it to the people because doing this job, this radio job, I feel some sort of responsibility to the audience. And if you all had said, no, stay out, I would have stayed out. All right. We are coming up on a break here, right? Okay. When we come back, what have I got here? I've got one more thing about if Al Gore were arrested. This is from The Nation from yesterday. Interesting question. Remember when I talked about BP, how impressed I was with BP? I guess it was about a year or so ago. Maybe it was when I was on Air America. And then found out that BP was dumping mercury into Lake Michigan. And now BP agrees to pay, British Petroleum agrees to pay $373 million to settle criminal and civil charges that have overcharged U.S. propane customers, consumers by millions of dollars and ignored environmental warnings that resulted in the Alaska oil spill and the explosion in Texas where 15 people died and almost 200 were wounded. BP, screw you. You're beyond petroleum. Little institutional ads that try to pass as commercials or vice versa. Go to hell, BP. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Mike Malloy. Dr. Sachs wants to know, how come nobody on television called the Californians refugees? The commentators were all very politically correct. These were evacuees. The black people in New Orleans were refugees. These are evacuees. Another question in his email. Why did Duncan Hunter say, there's no looting here? And he said he was in New Orleans after the hurricane, and there was water and food there, according to him. Yeah, there were rats and swamp water and dead things that could have been eaten. Right, Duncan? Duncan Hunter, don't even go there, Malloy. Winston, how many fingers do you see? Yeah, thanks, Doc. Al Gore is apparently considering an invitation from Rainforest Action Network, prominent environmental group, to engage in civil disobedience against the construction of new coal-fired power plants. Huh? After winning his Nobel Peace Prize, I guess the powers that be would not look at that as Nobel Peace Prize. They instructed their pigs at Fox Noise Channel to call it a Nobel Political Prize. But apparently what happened, according to Rainforest Action Network, or RAN, Executive Director Michael Brune, he says, we came across a quote from Gore in an interview with the New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof back in August, saying he didn't understand, quote, why there aren't rings of young people blocking bulldozers and preventing them from constructing new coal-fired power plants, end quote. So we here at RAN thought, great idea, that's the kind of activism we do at RAN. So we decided to invite Gore to join us. End quote. Gore's office has confirmed that the former vice president had received RAN's invitation and was considering it, though no decision has been made. A spokeswoman for Gore said he has not accepted any of their offers to date. She also said she didn't deny that this phrasing leaves open the possibility of Gore saying yes down the road. Rainforest Action Network plans a National Day of Protest against coal on November 16th. Now, of course, if Gore did participate, it would make front page news, and very clearly he would be arrested. However, one thing to consider, he could also be charged with terrorism. As could any member of Rainforest Action Network, as could you, as could I, in protesting Bush's entertainment in Iraq and or Afghanistan. We can now be charged with aiding and abetting terrorism. Al Gore could have every one of his assets seized. He could be declared an enemy combatant. He could be renditioned to Syria Isn't it funny? We send people to Syria for torture, but we also allow the Israeli defense forces to bomb their country indiscriminately. It's madness. It's total madness. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see if Martin Luther King was arrested. He was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Of course, then they killed him. So, you know, that's something to consider, too. Yeah, that was just one guy. Yeah. And somehow this dumbass white man from, where was he from? Tennessee? Alabama? Missouri? I don't even know. I don't even remember his name. What was the guy's name that killed him? James Earl Ray. That's right. But this dumbass honky white man who had never been outside of Alabama or Memphis or wherever the hell he was from, Missouri. I don't even know. I don't care. Don't send me anything. Don't send me anything because I don't care. But somehow he managed to book international travel plans and wind up in England. Dexter King, who is MLK Jr.'s, I think, second child, Dexter King, here in Atlanta, said before James Earl Ray died in prison that he, Dexter, was convinced that there was more to it than just James Earl Ray assassinating his father. Of course, but we don't talk about that. So anyway, that's good to know. Absolutely. The folks in California have not been referred to as refugees. Everybody in media and government is being very careful this time, aren't they? Huh? Very careful. I didn't know until Zoe sent it to me that Qualcomm Stadium was going to be emptied to make way for the Chargers game this weekend. But I do remember how the top blew off of Superdome in New Orleans and people were rained on and lived in that toilet. You remember those videos of people screaming, "Help us, help us," and nobody did anything? Nothing? Didn't you want to just gouge your eyes out back then? Didn't you want to just stab yourself with something just to see if you were still alive and hadn't gone to hell? That in the United States of America, that was going on? How long did it go on? How many days did we see those images? Not this time. Now, what's the difference this time? Well, yeah, you're way ahead of me, aren't you? Yeah, what's the difference this time? I'm not dumping on my white brothers and sisters. How could I do that? But I have yet to see any black faces from the tragedy in San Diego or L.A. County. We all know. We know the truth. Don't get weird on me now. Don't send me emails and say, "Well, you're not being fair, Malloy. They suffered in New Orleans. They suffered in San Diego." I know that. Don't get freaky on me. Don't turn into a punk. You know what I'm talking about. You know goddamn good and well what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I will guarantee you that 2 years from now, there will not be people in Southern California whose needs have not been met, whose insurance companies have not paid, who this and who that and who the other. There will not be people from San Diego and people from that area sent all over the country, banished like so much debris. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Mike, these people were much more financially responsible. Yeah, I reckon they were. Are. And that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? And so does skin color. And I will guarantee you that Tom DeLay didn't show up at Qualcomm Stadium talking to the white children in there and the Latino children, if there were some, saying, "Hey, this is just like camp, isn't it, boys? Huh?" Like he did the little Negro children down in New Orleans. And I'll guarantee you that Barbara Bitch Bush did not show up at Qualcomm Stadium with her haughty superior attitude and walk amongst the newly homeless and say, Well, now, in here in Qualcomm, you're better off. Well, they weren't. But neither were the people who wound up in Houston, in that stadium. There's something just sick that says a dark-skinned person living in a shotgun house in the lower ninth is 1,000, 10,000 times less valuable than a white person living on a hillside in San Diego. Son of a bitch, you know that. You know that. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Hey, you know something, people? I'm not black, but there's a whole lot of times I wish I could say I'm not white. But I've seen the fires burning and the local people turning on the merchants and the shops who used to sell their brooms and mops and every other household item. Watch a mob just turn and bite them, and they say it served them right because a few of them were white. And it's the same across the nation, black and white discrimination. Yeah, and you can't understand me and all that other jazz they hand me in the papers and TV and all that mass stupidity that seems to grow more.
Redemption songs. Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we...
It's a really long question.
Some say it's just a part of it. We've got
it's 21 past the hour. Last one here. I just have to share this with you. This was sent to me from Doug in Berkeley. According to San Diego Indy Media, in the midst of a massive wildfire-induced crisis displacing perhaps 20% of San Diego County's residents, immigration officers were observed asking for papers and separating families at the Qualcomm Stadium Evacuation Center earlier Wednesday. Border Patrol officers also were present at Qualcomm yesterday. Reporters for Univision and Azteca told San Diego Indy Media volunteers that immigration officers, ICE officers, separated one family into members who had papers and those without documents, taking the undocumented into custody for deportation. San Diego Independent Media spoke with said that they observed Border Patrol agents demanding documents from folks at the shelter. When a reporter approached and asked what they were doing, the agents promptly left. A family who evacuated from Ramona said that in the chaos of leaving an area rapidly being overtaken by wildfire, they initially were scattered among evacuation centers in Escondido, Mira Mesa, and San Diego because of difficult communications and closed roads, only reuniting at Qualcomm Wednesday. Some of their neighbors without papers stayed behind because of a fear of crossing police lines or a need to work. The family cannot return home until Friday because of a lack of potable water in Ramona, and they have no idea whether their house survived. And it goes on here. And I guess the point that Doug wants to make, in addition to sharing this, is that it wasn't all white people, upper middle class, who were involved here. What do they do? What do the ICE officers do? Do they approach people who appear to be of Hispanic descent and ask for their papers in the middle of a crisis like this? Apparently they do. We have turned a corner, folks. We really have. We're living in a different America from what... We're living in a different America. All right, let's do some phone calls. Y'all have been so patient. Let's start with Wayne in Boston, who's listening on the Internet. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Mike. What's up?
You are.
All right. That's amazing how that bill just slipped. Nobody noticed that bill, that homegrown terrorist law that Congress passed.
Yeah, and the awful part is it is up to interpretation by George W. Bush.
What really disturbs me is this AIPAC. They're intimidating everybody. Like the story that came out about Israel attacking the U.S. at Liberty. No one talked about it. AIPAC is intimidating everybody.
Right,
it's unbelievable.
I understand, but you know that story is 40 years old.
Yeah, but new documents come out that really confirm it now.
Well, that's true. Some recent documents. The book Attack on the USS Liberty has been out there, though, for about 30, 35 years. And I don't think very many Americans know what you're talking about the Liberty, the U.S. Ship, intelligence ship that was bombed. And what was it, 37 American sailors were killed?
Yeah, in 1967.
67, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to get into a big discussion about AIPAC tonight. But if you've got something else, that's let's hear it. Because I talk about AIPAC and the Zionists all the time.
You'll get fired again, and we don't want that to happen.
No, I won't. That's not why I got fired the first time, and I would never be fired from Nova M Radio for talking about criminal activity by American Zionists. Never. Absolutely never. Now, I might be dropped by certain radio stations, but this network, the owners of this network, and the management team of this network would never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, fire me because of something that I said, unless I said something that deliberately and categorically violated FCC rules and regulations and set this network up for a heavy fine. Then my ass is gone, and I understand that. But as far as making a point politically about AIPAC or American Zionists or anybody else, Wayne, trust me on this. The people who own this network have given me absolute, total freedom to do this program. Thanks, Wayne. Let me move on. Tony is calling from Atlanta, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Are you here in Atlanta as well?
Near Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, well, I live just outside of Decatur, and it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasure's all mine. Where at outside of Decatur?
I'm in East Atlanta, West Soles Road.
Yeah, it's a great neighborhood. I wish I could afford to buy a house over there.
Well, I'm fortunate to be in a middle-class neighborhood here.
I love East Atlanta. East Atlanta, for folks who don't know, has just made a hell of a comeback in the past 10 years. A lot of urban homesteading, so-called. Great neighborhood. Hold on, Tony. Got a break. Come back and pick you up right on the other side of the break. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
There ought to be zero tolerance of looting. It's very important for the citizens in all affected areas to take personal responsibility and assume kind of a civic sense of responsibility.
Yeah, and if your child is starving to death and needs some milk, don't you dare go near that store and steal it, you little rat bastard brown person, or I will personally send a Blackwater person to kill you.
Let's not forget how many of the police were doing the looting.
Yeah. All right, this is really, 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 really important. A CBS poll out today or tonight puts Hillary Clinton in first place in a three-way race with Obama and Edwards, with 51% for Hillary, 23% for Barack Obama, and 13% for John Edwards. However, when Al Gore is included in the mix, Clinton has 37% and Gore 32%. Obama and Edwards get 16% and 7% respectively. And the 37% that Hillary Clinton has and the 32% that Al Gore would have is very close to the statistical variant in this poll. And that's with Al Gore not even, well, interesting. All right, back to your phone calls. Aaron is calling from Washington State, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
It's going pretty good.
Cool. Yeah, I just want to make a statement about all these conservatives, how they can't define torture. I believe it's pretty easy to define. It's what would you want your child to have done to them if they were in the same situation in a foreign country?
Yeah, the laws against torture are very much rooted in enlightened self-interest, because if we torture people, then other people have the right to torture us by definition. If our military tribunals summarily execute fighters on the other side, whether they're in uniform or not, then the other side, whoever that other side may be at a given time, has the right to summarily execute our people. So any laws against torture, I don't want to make a sweeping statement that they don't have some basis in morality or ethical behavior.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do. But I think the driving force is, if I can do it to you, then you can do it to me. So let's just not do it at all.
Yeah. Aren't we supposed to be better than the enemy? Or?
Well, yeah, but
we don't behead people. We don't, but, you know, people come in with black masks on and take people away in the middle of the night in the name of our interests around this world.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful when you get into the area of how a state treats not just its own citizens, but citizens of other states.
Yeah.
And in the history of the human race, we've all done a pretty piss-poor job of that to the point where we've had to form international commissions to try to come up with what would constitute proper behavior when we are trying to kill another population and destroy its cities and wreak havoc on it. Even in that situation, we've come to the conclusion we've got to have some rules, which is laughable when you live in the age of nuclear weapons. But the whole thing is madness. The whole thing is madness. Trying to find order in the chaotic disorder that is war and death and murder and destruction, saying, well, you know, it's okay if I drop a nuclear bomb on a city, but it's not okay if I torture someone in a cell to get information, is madness.
How long does that torture have to go on?
Right.
You know,
neither situation.
A month, 3 years?
10 minutes. Neither situation is one that a rational, moral human being would get involved in. Neither situation.
Anybody would say they'd wear women's underwear if you beat them long enough.
Yeah, well, even Rudy Giuliani, I'm sure. Aaron, thanks. I appreciate you checking in and take care. Scott is calling from Federal Way, Washington, listening on KPTK. Hey, Scott.
You know, I wanted to mention about the Bill Clinton thing. You know, that people need to understand that Bill and Hillary, well, Bill especially, is not the Bill Clinton of the 90s anymore. He really is not. And, you know, just the fact that both him and Hillary have been sucking up to the Bushes and people like Murdoch and stuff like that really is proof of that. Because you remember when he got all indignant last year when, who was it, Chavez, that made that comment about Bush referring to him as being the devil? So it really shouldn't be all that surprising that now he's being indignant when somebody talks about 9/11 and questioning it.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, they're not the same people. And for all of these people who were supporting Hillary, you know, if you're getting that as a preview, don't expect any kind of investigation to come out of Hillary. And incidentally, I don't believe these so-called polls about Hillary. I don't believe the stuff that's in the media and stuff like that. I don't buy into that. You go on the Internet, you go on to some of these sites, and I'm cleaning up some of the language that they referred to her as being an evil bitch. I don't see any support out there for her. Now, unless the DLC plans their own little coup themselves, I don't see her getting the nomination. I don't know which person is going to get it, but I'm going to tell you right now, if any of these DLC people get the nomination, you may very well see a Republican in office, or you may very well see somebody like Ron Paul in office, like it or not. But it's not going to be Hillary, not from the ordinary people.
Well, I have found that polls, political polls, especially here lately, by lately I mean the past 5 or 6 years, for the most part are pretty much right on, Scott. And I'll tell you why. Polling has gotten so sophisticated. The pollsters can can word their polls in a way that they know they're going to get a truthful answer. And so I would tend to disagree with you on this one, pal. I think these polls are pretty much right on. I think it's because most people who are polled do not take the time to check out Hillary Clinton. The same article I read from CBS also says that Hillary Clinton has the highest negatives, 46% negative rating, and a very high percentage of people who said they would not vote for Hillary Clinton under any circumstances. So I tend to think that these polls are pretty much on target, Scott.
Well, just keep two things in mind, though. Number one, you know, pardon what you said, but just keep two things in mind. Number one, it depends on who they ask these questions of and who answers them.
Right.
The second one, keep in mind that this is the same media that brought you the Iraq War,
right,
via WMD.
Okay, I understand. Touche, I get it, but...
the fact of the matter is that, you know, it's very easy to buy into that, but, you know, people who are also on the Internet, people who are also finding other sources of media and in-source, I mean, these are people who are also voting as well, too. So
yeah.
I wouldn't get too hung up on that. And just keep in mind, too, you know, in 2004, before the primaries, you know, they had Howard Dean out there as the front runner, and, you know, he raised all that money, and he didn't end up getting the nomination either. So
yeah,
I wouldn't put that much stock into it.
All right. Well, we will damn sure know pretty soon, Scott. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. No, I understand. I get it. Bill Clinton in Minneapolis on Tuesday.
An inside job? How dare you? How dare you?
You know, he might as well say, you weaselly son of a bitch. And his tone of voice is not quite as desperate as when he said, I did not have sex with that woman. And to this day, I don't believe he did. Bill is a product of the South, and in the male, a white male in the South, and to a white male in the South, oral sex is not sexual relations. It just isn't. It is not. Sorry. But when he said that, you know, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Monica Lewinsky, there was a note of just absolute fearful desperation. I don't hear that. Play it again. I don't hear that in this cut.
An inside job? How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah, and this one, he's coming from the position of someone who knows the truth and knows that the truth will never get out. Ooh, that's pretty strong, isn't it, Malloy? There is a sound to his voice there that indicates that the person who heckled or who raised the issue is beneath Bill Clinton's contempt, even though it's a question on the minds of a massive number of Americans. Why it's not on Bill Clinton's mind, I don't know. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. You're no good for me. 10 before the hour. You know, we're only going to be on the radio in San Francisco, in San Diego, one more night after tonight. That's Friday. Apparently, KLSD is going to flip on Monday to all sports. So while that whole idea gives me a stomachache, I just want to say thank you. I'll repeat this again tomorrow for the people who made this program and other progressive radio programs highly successful in San Diego. Any comments to the contrary are simply not true. You know, that progressive talk could not find an audience in San Diego. That's just simply not true. So to everybody who found this program, I can only speak for this program, not for Hartman, not for Rhodes, not for anybody else that is carried on KLSD. For the people who found this program, thank you very much. It has been an honor for me to broadcast into that particular city, or as they say in the radio biz, that particular market. I've spent time in your city. It's a beautiful city. My heart just breaks for what has happened out there with the fires. And setting all the political comments aside, it just the tragedy. I don't care if a person is wealthy or living in a rented house. When the entire thing is destroyed by a flood or a hurricane or a tornado or a fire, it is just deeply moving to, through television, have a chance to look into the eyes of these people and see this common thread of just awful pain. It's incredibly hurtful. Even sitting, you know, 2,000 miles away or 1,800 miles away in Atlanta, Georgia, that is about to experience its own hell eventually here. We're a city of 5 million with no more water supplies. So, and that's a slow death, whereas floods and hurricanes and tornadoes and fires are a quick death. But I digress. Thank you to the people in San Diego who found this program and tuned in. It's been a slice of heaven being on the air in your city. Thanks to our usual crew, Ian Huff, Chris in Minnesota, Billy Foster, our executive producer, Catherine Bay. Vicki is calling from San Diego, the very city we're just talking about. Hey, Vicki.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, listen, I found you on the internet before KLSD, and I'll continue to listen to you. I mean,
thank you.
You know, when you were off the air, you know, I needed my Mike Malloy fix. In fact, I went to an anti-war rally once, and someone had on a sign, "Bring back Mike Malloy." This was a while back. So you have many fans here, and we do have computers, so you're not lost in San Diego.
That's true. And don't forget, there's always Sirius satellite radio, too.
Well, I don't hear a satellite radio, doggone it.
I know, but yeah.
But yes, you're there.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to say, a couple things. Quickly, I wanted to ask you about that poll that you said you were talking about, Hillary Clinton. Was that a poll of all likely voters or all likely Democratic voters?
You know, I don't know. It's at CBSNews.com. I would imagine. What I took from that poll was a quick synopsis. It goes on. Hold on just a second here. I think I may have already thrown it in the Oval file here. Let me see if this is it. Yeah, here it is. It just says it doesn't say who the polling or what the polling pool consisted of.
Well, that would be impressive if it was just a poll of likely voters, because I'm sure they're randomly selected and. Mm-hmm. You know, to see that overwhelmingly people are at least, you know, considering the Democrats rather than the Republicans. But if it's likely Democratic voters, I don't really know what to make of that, especially in terms of the general election. But what I really wanted to call about was to tell you about Bush's photo op today in San Diego. And I had a little experience with it because I got diverted as I was driving around. I'm a home health nurse. And in an expensive neighborhood. And he had his photo op in Rancho Santa Fe, which is a municipality, the municipality that has the highest per capita income in the United States. So I'm sure he was making sure that his donor base, you know, was still soluble or, you know, or solvent, rather. Just checking in on him, make sure he still had some donors out there. And another thing I wanted to say about San Diego and the fires, I mean, fire is part of the ecology out here. I'm not dismissing the horror of the fires. And, of course, you know, this could be managed better so the fires wouldn't be conflagrations. But, you know, San Diego's infrastructure compared to New Orleans is you know, we're a newer city you know, a lot better prepared for these types of emergencies. I mean, we really do expect fires, and who knows when a levee's going to break. But and then a lot of the folks who live in the fire areas, of course, can afford to live in those areas as well. So I'm not dismissing the tragedy by any means. But I'm, you know, it's interesting that Bush came here where where there's a lot of devastation, horrible devastation. But people are more likely to recover here than they ever will in New Orleans.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying, Vicki. I really do. It's a very touchy subject. Tragedy is tragedy is tragedy. There's no way to minimize when you've lost everything, whether it's in a result of a levee breaking or a fire. We got to leave there. Thanks, Vicki. I'll see you all tomorrow night, okay? Thanks for hanging out tonight. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.